The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll take you into an alternative universe, Audreality. It's a province of Portland, Oregon, video podcast host Audrey Rose Goldfarb. Stick around, because wherever Audrey goes, someone may lose their pants. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of young men and women from Portland, Oregon, willing to go along to get along in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Can I be honest with you folks? I don't entirely get Audrey Rose Goldfarb's online video diary, Audreality. The point of view for me sometimes is a little awkward, the narrative often a little incomplete, and her friends are unlike any of my friends. And yet, I can't stop watching. There you go. The first episode I watched, No Pants Portland, made me wish we had thought of doing just that when I edited the alternative newspaper Tampa Bay Weekly. It was daring, fun, and a lot of good-looking people gave up wearing pants. And the Babes of Beast Fit, on the other hand, sounded better than I thought its actual execution may have been. But I still watched. And her last episode, Season 4's Swiss Miss Travel miniseries, a peek at international online dating, left my head spinning a bit. But I watched it all. Now, if you'd
Thank
like...
You.
You're welcome. If you... You know, it's like you want to know what's going to happen next. You got to know. If you'd like to leave your own comfortable universe for a little while and get a taste of how a real free spirit lives, leave your jitters behind and visit one of the 50 episodes of Audreality on YouTube. And with that, Audrey Rose Goldfarb, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Nice to have you here. I hope nothing I said there offended you.
Not at all.
Okay. How did you decide to turn your life into this running video series for the last 4 years?
Well, I felt like the show would make itself. I'm born and raised in Portland, and I'm in love with my town. There's always something happening here. It's very creative, very just really nonstop action. And then that in cahoots with me and my friends, who are all lovely, I figured all I needed was a cameraman, and then that's how season one started. I found after searching on Craigslist for a cameraman, I got lots of responses, but everybody wanted to be paid, and I did find one guy that was crazy enough to do it. My friend Vinny.
I saw that movie. That was terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like that, but different.
Okay.
And season one, it ends up being largely about him, and most of that is off the internet because I want to repackage it, like how it all began story.
Mm-hmm. What was your original concept for doing it? I mean, did you must have gone into it with something more than, hey, I'm going to get this camera person to come and follow me around and shoot. What were what was the original thought, and how is it different, if it is, from where you are now?
Well, I just thought since there's always stuff happening, it's like a party train. Everybody wants on for the ride. And it would just, I really thought it would do itself. It turns out there's more work involved. And, now I am my own cameraman, and I've had to learn editing and production on my, as I go. So it's been a process.
But what about in terms of content? Is it what you envisioned? Did it kind of evolve a bit?
It's still it's still what it was in that I'm just always scanning the newspapers, seeing what's happening, and then going to where I think the most people are, because I like, you know, big crowds and zany things and people getting naked. You know, who doesn't?
I kid you not, folks. I mean, you know, you just don't know. For all you know, one of us may be sitting here without pants on now. I'm not going to stand up. So I was curious about the camera person thing, because sometimes I can't tell. I mean, sometimes it's obvious you're shooting yourself. When you're on the plane and the Swiss Miss Travel, clearly most of the time you're shooting yourself, but other times it seemed like maybe there was someone else holding the camera. So
sometimes I'm able to hand it off to someone. And my ideal assistant can handle a camera and be on camera.
Got it.
I'm always looking out for those very talented individuals.
Are there any I'm sorry. Are there any of your friends who kind of backed away from you doing this, that didn't want to be on camera, didn't want to be part of the
Yeah, friends and strangers alike. I mean, actually, most of my friends like attention, so it's not a problem for my close circle, but a few weeks ago, I got booked to shoot a glow-in-the-dark party where there'd be lots of shenanigans, and I said something about how I was excited to do that on their webpage, and people just freaked out, and so that kiboshed it. I mean, nobody wanted to be on camera doing their wild stuff, and it's like in the dark, glow in the dark. I mean, you're not recognizable, and I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble, so, but that stuff happens.
A lot of the things you shoot are in public places where, of course, you can do whatever you want. Certainly in the United States. I don't know about overseas, but the United States, basically public places, you know, you can shoot without getting permission. Do you have a lot of people, strangers, I guess, who see the camera and say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to be in whatever you're doing? Or do you explain to
sometimes
them, or you just shoot and keep moving?
Both. I mean, sometimes people are really uptight, but I mean, in today's world, you should probably get used to cameras being everywhere all the time. I mean, pretty soon this won't even be novel anymore, because we'll just all be recorded wherever we go. You know, but
that's a scary thought, but I know that's true. It's NSA all the time, 24-hour coverage. What about like when you go, because a lot of the action does seem to take place in bars sometimes. What about there? Do you have to get releases? How do you handle that?
I break a lot of rules.
Right. Well, and now there are no commercials during the show. Not even I don't even recall seeing YouTube put.
Yeah, I don't like the ads.
So it's not a commercial product in that regard. So I guess the rules can be a little bit different that
right.
way as well.
Exactly. As long as I'm not selling something, it's fair game.
All right. Which brings me to another question. I assume you have some other way of supporting yourself, because there are no commercials. Nobody's paying to subscribe.
Yeah, well, my life is rich in a lot of other ways.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Sometimes I get paid for gigs. I do other kinds of art, paint, and I've got an article published once. And I'm finishing a book. I'd like to sell that. Sometimes I get jobs doing rigging, stagehand work. I've worked in TV and film on and off camera for a long time, but it's all very sporadic. And so mostly I just work on my stuff.
It sounds like what I would picture to be a very Portland, Oregon existence.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, which is why I thought I would be the perfect person to make this show. It's like Jersey Shore for Portland, you know, a little bit.
I thought Portlandia was Jersey Shore for Portland.
No, Portlandia is satire. It's a different genre.
Oh, that's just what they're telling you people who live in Portland. The rest of us know that it's a reality show.
Yeah, there is some crossing over. Yeah. Artistically.
And Grimm is a reality show set in Portland too, right?
You know, it's funny you ask, because they're – parts of it seem that way, and they are a part of my story. I mean, I worked on Grimm for a while, so, you know, the book covers a lot more than I've ever been able to put on film. And actually, I wrote most of it in between cameras. I'm kind of a camera destroyer. So, like, when I was down on that side, I wrote this book. It's 13 chapters and a foreword, and the Grimm story is like part of it. It's good.
All right. So you're going to self-publish? What are you going to do there? Will we see it?
Yeah. I could email it to you. I'm like finishing the foreword because the stuff keeps happening. I thought I should write like a little bit more details about what happened in Switzerland and like a couple other things that have happened lately, but I'm going to publish it.
All right. Well, all right, let's talk about Switzerland. The details are a little thin, even in the description. I'd never heard of Miss Travel. It's MISS Travel, solid, mm-hmm. I guess. And it seemed like, I guess the bare essence that I got is that you participated for a year or two in this site. It's an online dating for people who want to travel and get around. And some guy you didn't know offered to pay for a ticket for you to come to Switzerland, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the guy that we meet in the cab? Okay, so he's a cab driver.
He's not a cab. Wait.
Oh, no.
There is no taxi. He was the one that was he's the big guy from the part one.
Yeah. So he's driving you, but he's not a taxi driver. See, I was confused by that at the beginning.
No, he picked me up at the airport, and that was our first conversation, really, is like him driving me around, telling me all that.
And
stuff.
And of course, editing, you know, you couldn't edit for hours. And there is a feeling that you've been in the car with him for quite a long time, so obviously it has to be edited. But it's you know, he starts off pointing things out, and he's got a very, very American sounding or English accent. It's very easy to follow him. He's pointing this out, and then suddenly it seems like it's nighttime, and you're still in the car with him. I think it was nighttime, and he starts talking about how he hasn't had sex with his wife in years.
It was actually. It was all at this. It was not night. It was day.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry.
But it might have gotten darker because we were going through a walled area, I think, in that shot. But
okay. But so what happened? Did he literally jump from talking about the sights to telling you that he hadn't had sex with his wife in years?
He even went back and forth more. I like actually put the different subjects together. I like organized his thoughts for him because it was all mixed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so was he – did you know that he was married when you
– I forgot. Maybe. I don't know. I forgot. But, I think – I felt like I was learning it for the first time, but I think he might have mentioned it before, but I didn't, like, listen that hard.
And I guess what I missed where did it go wrong? I mean, this guy flew you to Switzerland. What – was it just – I don't know.
Immediately. I mean, like – by the end of that first day, he was threatening to send me home early, and I was like, dude, I'm not going to fly halfway around the world and then fly back again. That's crazy. I'm going to stay. You know, if we have to split up, that's cool. Even better. But we ended up trying to work it out the first night, and then the next morning was the paragliding, and that was awesome, obviously. And then... then it got worse again.
What was the issue between the two of you? Is it just personality, or was there something more to it?
Both. In the beginning, I mentioned that like he talked the whole time, like, and that he knew that he did that. He said it was like something he did as a comfort, a nervous thing, but that wasn't so bad. But then. He like wanted me to hang on him, and he really wanted to show off that he was like out with the girl, and that was tacky. And then you saw
And at one point, I mean, he's got on speakerphone. He's calling another girl.
Sorry. Okay, so that is after we had parted ways.
Okay.
In part three. So in part two, he's like barely even in it. You hear his voice like in the very beginning, like a really creepy laugh thing, or we should park, I think he says. And then he's not in it anymore after that, except for when he's driving and not speaking to me. And then he drops me off and I get taken out. Then it's nighttime. In part three, it's nighttime, and I'm with a whole different person. Mm. And that's my friend Edgar. And I met him through the internet years ago. Ooh, my coat on. And we've always been internet friends, but we never met in person because he has always lived in different places. And so when I posted on Facebook that I was going to Geneva, he said that, oh my gosh, I live there now. We should hang out. And so I used that as a backup plan.
Smart move, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Is that the first time you've taken a trip from someone like that? First and only? Or
no. No, it's my third missed travel trip. And the others were okay and pretty bad, respectively. Like, and people have come to visit me here, and those things worked out. And for different reasons, one person was instrumental in my Odd Reality productions. He asked why I wasn't filming, and I was like, well, I don't have a camera right now. That's like the biggest reason. And he said, let's go get one. And so that's how I started filming again back in May, season three.
Got it. That's interesting. I knew there was going to be interesting explanations to some of the things that I couldn't quite grasp. Let me ask you this. What are the most important elements of an Odd Reality show to you? What needs to be present for an episode to work?
I like it when there aren't too many other cameras around. Otherwise, I feel like I'm being redundant. I like a lot of people, music, happiness. Although, you know, this missed travel thing, it was a hard thing. But I realized yesterday, you know, a double negative makes a positive. So I was like shining, I was shining an unflattering light onto an unflattering situation. And then maybe it ended up being a worthwhile point. But most of the time I try to shine a good light onto good situations and just stay happy. Hmm. So,
I mentioned some of the shows that I've seen. Do you have some favorite, adventures, I guess, for lack of a better term, from the series?
Well, I mean, for one thing, I've been like learning as I go, so I'm really partial to the new stuff because all my tricks are in there, you know, and I'm starting to use my dad's music, and that's really fun. Right now, I mean, the thing I'm working on right now is my favorite because it's right now. There was a big party over the weekend that my friend organized, and it was at a house, but he invited rock bands, like three pretty serious rock bands. And so we like kind of blew the top off the place, and it's been really fun. I was afraid that the sound would just be like too much for my little handy cam, but it worked out okay. It's pretty good. So I've been rocking out for a few days, like cutting it as much as I can, and I can't. It hurts to cut stuff. It's so good. So
I understand. And what about, have there been times when you've planned to do an episode and for whatever reason it just didn't work out and you had to set it aside?
Yeah. Once in a while I'll go out and shoot stuff and then it'll hit the back burner, and either because I have too much stuff on my plate or because I'm just not excited enough about it. Hmm. There's a few of those.
Okay. And before you started the show, had you done any video or film work? Did you just start kind of fresh?
No. I started as an on-camera talent. I always got little parts in big projects and bigger parts in little ones. But I get a little nervous on camera. And I really like being behind it, and I like, you know, all the creative stuff, because I'm also a photographer and a painter and all these things. So I like to think that I can see, you know, pretty stuff, and just another medium to play with.
And what are we missing when the camera's not running or it's getting edited out? Has there been anything, you know, that stands out in your mind that you had to leave on the floor, or have you had to cut out friends, for example, that, you know, you would have liked to have left in just because they're your friends, but, you know, you reach a point where it's getting a little long, or...
No, I've actually just had to cut out friends from my real life because they couldn't tough it. And, like, season one, there's this girl who was, like, my number one cohort, she's on camera with me every day that we were shooting. And then afterwards, she realized that she made a complete ass of herself the whole time, you know. And she's like, I don't want to be in it anymore. And it's like, dude, you're in the whole thing. I mean, I'm not going to start over again. And then I said, well, you're going to have an opportunity, you know, down the road when I'm interviewing all my main characters. Like, I still haven't done any of this with the season one project, but, you know, to show how you've changed. Like, you don't have to be, you can show how you've grown. It'll be a few years, you know, but right now we're not talking, and that's okay.
I'm sorry.
She'll be back. No, it's okay. You know what? I call it social pruning, and everybody's got to do it, you know. If you get a bad branch.
Got it.
So, I have enough friends.
Well, that's fortunate.
Yeah, exactly.
How would you explain to someone who has never been to Portland, which at the moment is still me, I'd like to get out there sometime, but I got to get out there. But how would you explain Portland to someone who hasn't been there and has seen your show or seen, as again, Portlandia as one mm-hmm. example, Grimm for a completely different example?
Yeah.
How do you explain Portland? What is it about this city?
It's laid back and friendly, and we have our own value set here. It's like not really we don't really care as so much about money. You don't get shamed quite so much about not having a job because a lot of people don't. It's the creative class. and it often is where young people go to retire. I mean, that's not a joke.
No, I know. I understand.
So I was born here and therefore, you know, I've been retired ever since. Just kidding. That is a joke. But for me, work and play is pretty much the same thing.
Okay. And you don't have to answer, but can I ask how old you are?
I'm 32.
Okay. So you're young kid.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It depends who you ask, you know. I mean,
I'm sure the 20-year-olds think you're ancient, but, you know.
They do. They do, and they're not afraid to say so.
Those bastards. So you mentioned about your dad doing the music for shows. Is your dad a full-time musician, or is it?
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Delmark Goldfarb. And the big feather in his hat here in Portland is he started the Blues Festival, which is like the biggest blues festival west of the Mississippi, probably still. That was when I was a kid. So one of the biggest feathers in my hat is I got to introduce a band on stage when I was like 7 or something. So it's the largest audience I've ever spoken to.
Until now.
Maybe. I mean, how big is your audience?
Well, there's you, there's me.
And then
no one in my house watches the show. Well, let me ask you that. See, now I know that no one in my house ever watches my show. Does your family watch the show? Can you, you know, how do you know if people have watched the show?
I forced my daughter to because she helps me decide what to cut. Like she can say that stuff that hurts my feelings and she has no problem with that. So that's good. It's good. And she's 15, so it helps me, you know, I have that connection with the youth. Mom is not interested, although she says she might check out the Swiss Miss thing because I said it was controversial. No, she likes animals. Like, she was excited about me going to meet the guy because we thought that he works to save endangered species and we both love animals, so we thought that was interesting. But Dad, he's not around. I mean, my parents are divorced. Sometimes he lives here, but right now he's overseas and I'm supposed to go join him and make music in gym.
Cool.
A film about him making music.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so I guess this is the last thing I wanted to ask you about, but for all the things that you'll tape and that you'll do on camera, is there anything, you know, is there a line for you? I mean, you know, is there things that you will not do on camera for Audreality?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even the naked bike ride, we didn't get naked. So I haven't done that. I try to not break the law on camera, although I've done a little of that. But I sold my car, so I'm not like driving while filming myself anymore. I don't want to get in trouble, you know, so I try to keep it legal.
Is part of that having a 15-year-old that you have to answer to?
Yeah. I don't want her to be too embarrassed.
Yeah.
I do. I'm happy to leave something for, you know, after I'm gone, you know, but I want her to, it to be something she's proud of course.
All right. Well, it's an interesting show. I mean, we exchanged some email early on. It's the kind of thing where if you had done one or two episodes, which is what I thought you were at when you first reached out to me, I would have said, well, I'll get back to you. But, you know, when it became apparent that you had done, I mean, you've done 50 of them, for God's sakes, it was like, okay, I got to go and check this out. And it's you've got an interesting voice. It's an interesting program. I'm astonished that there's no advertising involved, so you really are free to do what you want. You can shoot as you want. And it's an interesting show. People should check it out.
Thank you.
This is where I tell them that they can. You can watch and subscribe to Audreality on YouTube. Is it youtube.com/Audreality?
Right. Yes, sir.
All right. And down there, folks, is the spelling and the exact YouTube address, so you don't have to figure out how to spell Audreality, although it's really not that complicated. Combine Audrey and reality. Audreality, my guest today. And are you? Is there a website? Are you on Facebook, Twitter, any of the social media?
All those things. I mean, twitter.com/ptownoddreality, facebook.com/oddreality, and oddreality pretty much all over the place.
And you have a blog too, right?
WordPress, oddreality.wordpress.com. And one of these days, maybe I'll get an oddreality. It's on the list of things.
Okay, very good. Well, Audrey Rose Goldfarb, it was interesting getting to know you today. It's been fun watching the show, and thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Media.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
The preceding presentation was brought to you by The Realm Network.